Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Pablo Torre. That is Dominique Foxworth on this side. Yeah, there it is. That's Israel Gutierrez. Let's talk about, you know, feeling good about ourselves. Okay, that was unnecessary.
Is Bryson DeChambeau's behavior starting to get old?
So figuratively speaking, no, not to me. I'm super into what we saw this weekend at the BMW Championship, which was fascinating because at the center of all of it, at the center of, by the way, a tournament that people cared about, even though it wasn't a major, it wasn't really much at stake in terms of the grand scheme of golf history, but people cared about because it was Bryson DeChambeau versus Patrick Cantlay in a playoff, and everything for DeChambeau at least went off the rails, starting with the 14th hole.
Patrick, can you stop walking?
Now he just asked Patrick Cantlay to stop watching, didn't he?
He stopped walking. He certainly did, yeah.
So that was the 14th hole. They went to a playoff, and Bryson was missing chips. He was missing putts. He was falling apart, which is a tough thing for a guy who fancies himself like the Newton or Einstein of golf to process. And this is how it gets literally old. Because in fairness to people who hate this guy, we have been watching this guy do stuff like this for a very long time. We saw it against Brooks Koepka. We saw it with a fan at this same tournament. He is somebody who has become a villain of this sport. And clearly, as Kevin Van Valkenburg pointed out on his column on ESPN.com, he clearly doesn't love that idea. So as an amateur psychotherapist, all of the emotional turmoil, that is what I'm still into. That still feels very fun to me.
Well, I find it fascinating as somebody who used to cheer for Bryson. And here's why. Like, when I went into this thing with him and Brooks Koepka, I swore up and down that Bryson was the protagonist in this story, right? He was the nerd who bulked up and, you know, stood up to the bully in Brooks Koepka. He is no longer the protagonist in this story for me. And I'm just going to go through the last, you know, several months here. And I actually had to write it down because he had so many incidents.
Yeah, there's a lot.
At the St. Jude Invitational a few weeks ago, he got backlash for the vaccine comments, right? Where he essentially said, I don't want to get the vaccine until there's enough for everybody. Which is one of the most uninformed statements a professional athlete has said about the vaccine, which is saying a lot. So he got backlash and decided not to talk to the media after that, unless they were a PGA Tour sponsored media, okay? He's had a fan ejected for calling him Brooksy at a tournament. He had a caddy quit before an opening round of a tournament. He had a club manufacturer call him a child, okay? And he had a very divisive figure over for dinner recently. You might remember him. He used to run the country. And so now he's continuing his silence despite all this, despite opportunities to sort of fix his reputation. And in this tournament, even I found myself quietly cheering for him because he, and this is the only sport where can you please stop walking is considered trash talk. I was cheering for him because he was sort of trash talking there. Uh-huh. And then at the end, what does he do? He chokes. You can't tell me he didn't choke. He choked it away.
He did.
And then he gets mad at a fan and nearly goes after him for calling him Brooksy as he's walking away. So, even though he used to say Brooks Koepka, or he lived in Brooks Koepka's head rent-free, not anymore, it's reversed. To me, this is turning DeChambeau into somebody that is easily hateable, and if he doesn't start talking to the media, I think we can all speak for him, and yeah, you choked, and if you don't want to say something differently, we're here to say it for you.
Yeah, so the idea that telling someone to stop walking is absurd, consider that trash talking is absurd, but it's not as absurd as the fact that somehow walking is a legitimate distraction in your sport that you are somehow Einstein and Newton in. So yeah, it is ridiculous. I think it's unfair of us to be giving so much attention to DeChambeau, even though he's the big star and the big, I guess, lightning rod for us all to talk about. But it wasn't, I guess you could say he choked some, but Cantlay, I'm not a golf expert, but I watched the end of that and Cantlay was balling.
It was amazing.
I mean, to steal the words of Phil Mickelson, Cantlay was out there balling. He was playing well. So it seems unfair to be focused on DeChambeau, but I think this proves a point. It may not be the point that DeChambeau is making, but personality sells. Like, maybe he's not going for this, but I know who he is. I care about whether he succeeds or fails. I might even tune into a golf tournament every now and then because he is so hateable. So whether he wants to be loved or not, it doesn't matter. The fact that we hate him and he annoys us, he disappoints so many of us, he confuses many of us, it makes him relevant. It's the old school WWF model. Give somebody something to care about.
You're absolutely right. This was a complete glow up for the person I used to call the unfortunately named Patrick Cantlay. But now he's got a cool nickname, Patty Ice, right? So not only did he stand up to Bryson and, you know, he walked his way to a championship, But he's got a much better nickname than what his normal name is.
Are you here for Javi Baez trolling Mets fans?
So if you have not been listening to New York Sports Radio today, God bless you, and you have been missing out on a lot. A lot has been happening on the airwaves. It's the sort of thing where I'm like, I want to defend the idea that every fan has a right to boo and do whatever they want, and then you listen to callers, and you're like, oh no, I'm on the same side of the aisle as these people. But listen, this is how it started. It involved Javi Baez, who's been a Met for like 4 hours. He got traded from the Cubs. He's been terrible, hitting like 220. Hits a home run, and then this is how that plays out. So, yeah, look, the Mets have been struggling, right? Like, they were at one point at the trade deadline, first place in the NL East. Mm-hmm. They are now in third place, and this is a thing that he is doing, the thumbs-down gesture to the fans at Citi Field, because the fans at Citi Field have been booing and really disliking the fact that the Mets are unbelievably terrible, despite being a team that should not be quite so terrible. And look, I don't believe that the customer is always right. I don't. But I do believe that when you are this bad, like even if you're not in New York, when you're this bad, I'd like to think there can be constrained, precise, clear booing that we're all okay with. It's just that all of that tends to become a morality play. And that's where I have to, you know, leave the metaphorical building in which I am on either side of that.
I think that you are on the right track until you started saying, but. So like, they booed him. It's fine. He can give them the thumbs down. So they are, he's disappointed them. They're disappointed him. You can't say, I don't always think the customer is always right. And then go in a situation where the customer is obviously not right and then defend them. So why are you so sensitive? You feel like it's appropriate to come to a man at his job who's doing the best that he can right. and boo him. Then you should think it's appropriate for him to then turn around and say, I don't like that. Like, what is, how is this so offensive? I saw the owner of the team is like, we should never do any of this. He took his thumbs and went like this. We're on Disney television and you don't even have to blur this out. We're laughing off these. Like, seriously.
But here's, well, hold on. But before Izzy jumps in here, what I want to clarify here is that the Mets are saying stuff on top of just doing this. They're not doing this. They, like, they're fun nihilists.
So
like, you envision them.
I heard Baez's comment. He didn't call anybody's mom a name. He was like,
no,
hey,
he objects
like
to
it.
The idea that fans are booing at all. And the idea that anybody should be surprised that this is happening, Dominique, is where I am once again on the side of the aisle that you are not it.
By the way, Dominic, I think you've influenced Pablo a little bit too much here because I'm 99% sure he almost said, hold on, Goody, right, when he was just pausing me there. But I will say, look, I don't think this is a question of whether fans can boo somebody, Pablo. Right. I think it's the reaction of the fans after the player reacts to them, right? So the hypersensitivity of these fans is mind-boggling. You, as a fan, are showing up to the field, are looking directly at the player and booing him and giving him the thumbs down. His response is not to look directly at you, to look in a general direction and then give a thumbs down. And you are so hurt that you demand him to stop. Like, it's absolutely insane what these fans believe they're entitled to because they paid maybe $14 for a game in the afternoon.
To be clear, I'm on the side of the players in the Malice at the Palace. And clearly, Pablo's a cup thrower. He's a cup thrower.
Yes.
He runs on the court. And
how dare you?
NBA wears up as if he's ready to fight him, and then tries to sue him when he gets knocked out.
To be 1,000,000% clear, the only person I want to throw a cup at is Dominique Foxworth right now.
Could you see a Jimmy G, Trey Lance QB platoon actually working out for the 49ers?
I'm going to say absolutely, because I mostly just want to see this happen. So the theory on this is that, like, hey, you remember Drew Brees and Taysom Hill being like the two quarterbacks in one sort of complicated system deal? Well, what if both of those guys were like younger and more handsome and better? Because that's what the 49ers are trying to do now. They're trying to rotate them in even more frequently. So it's not just that Taysom Hill comes in for gadget plays. Here, Trey Lance would be actually like taking away snaps from Jimmy Garoppolo on a basis that would be, I think, unpredictable by design and also strategic by design. And Kyle Shanahan, if anyone can figure this out, it is him, I think. Obviously, the mob, that's the word of the day, the mob will demand one or the other at some point. But until then, this is a fascinating experiment that I don't know if we've seen in this way really before.
I think you got to check your eyes when you're looking at Taysom Hill. Look, here's what I think about this whole 49ers quarterback situation. I think it was interesting to me the other day because I thought Kyle Shanahan maybe had the media talk him into Trey Lance over Mac Jones and then was really angry, right? Because Mac Jones has been doing so well with the Patriots. But now I see that perhaps what talked him out of Mac Jones is his own front office by telling him, hey, you've got a toy to play with. You've got an offense that you can set and on the bench and just bring in on occasion. You have two separate offenses you can have at any given time. I don't know if there's anybody that would be more excited about that than Kyle Shanahan. So you and they also were in the situation where they have probably the best veteran in front of these rookies, right? And so you can still utilize him and sort of transition into Trey Lance without really insulting Jimmy Garoppolo in this process. So I think of all the teams that drafted these first-round quarterbacks this year, this is the perfect setup for this particular coach to have, you know, these options to play with.
Yeah, there's limits on practice time throughout the week. So it really comes down to an equation on practice time spent. So you cannot have a full practice for Trey Lance and a full practice for Jimmy Garoppolo, but you're going to have to give them both reps with the ones throughout the week. And that's going to hamper either one of their ability to be prepared for the game. But on the other side of the equation, because you have these two very different quarterbacks, the defenses will have to spend some time practicing against either style of play. So your hope is that they spend too much time on one style and you have focused on the other style. And that's something that potentially isn't completely in your control. So I think because we have a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan, he's one of the coaches who I believe is capable of pulling this off. And all you need is 5 or 6 running plays for Trey Lance. If you get one to go 12 yards or 10 yards in week one, for the rest of the season, at least the next 4 weeks, because that's normally how many weeks of film teams watch is the previous 4 weeks. For the next 4 weeks, teams are going to be terrified. And they're going to have vanilla packages put in order to slow that down. They're going to have less complicated blitz schemes to come after Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, this could work out if they do it just right, that it makes the circumstances so much easier for Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed. Not necessarily easier for Trey Lance to succeed, but they do get him some in-game reps. Because to get to his best ability, I believe that quarterbacks only learn by playing. So he's going to get some reps. He's going to be on the field learning and getting better without the pressure of having the whole team on his back. So this is a delicate balance that could work out just right for them as long as Trey Lance is playing his best when the playoffs come, because that's when they need him to be the starter.
Up next on HQ.
I don't want Cam Newton to lose this starting position, right? But he is wildly entertaining on the bench. I mean, you remember last year, right? Where he basically just slinked away forever after I hear a joke.
Time to play the game that's wondering what kind of help Izzy really wants.
Yeah, you give us topics and events and we question them like, yeah, what Izzy, what's up, man? What do you need?
Right now I need help figuring out what the heck the Dolphins are doing. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could tell you that. Ryan Fitzpatrick, they could use that. That's the help they needed. Yeah.
Do you question if Justin Reed should do kickoffs for the Texans full time?
So Kaimi Fairbairn is the kicker for the Houston Texans. You may have noticed that I pronounce his name real fast because I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. But Justin Reed is their safety, and he has a dream, and that dream is to do this.
Played his high school ball in the area. Aldine Eisenhower, the rookie takes it from the goal line.
That's a legitimate kickoff. And this coming up. You'll notice he is number 20. That was the beginning of the game. Here is later in the game. And Justin Reed wasn't done. Yeah. I mean, when the kicker
fumble too.
Does that. But I'm curious if Dominique has ever had this dream also.
Wait. Before you go to Dominique, because he's giving you the look already of him being disappointed that you're giving a kicker any credit. And I'm just here to say, before he goes off on kickers, look, I play a lot of flag football. There's almost nothing more impressive than at the beginning of a game when a good kick gets, like, sent into the end zone. We're all looking at each other like, why can't we do that? That's really cool. So good job, kickers. All right, go ahead, Dominique.
Izzy, I'd love to point out, when you said I play a lot of flag football, Dominique looked down and scratched his eyebrow because he was also exasperated with you. So Dominique, go ahead.
I mean, it's an absurd thing to bring up before we start analyzing actual real football. To say I play a lot of
kickers.
Flag football is kind of outrageous. And okay, I agree that it's an impressive skill to be able to kick off that way, but it's not a valuable skill that much. Like, there's so many kickers that can kick through the end zone. The only reason why it's valuable for Reed is because no kickoff return team has a return that is designed where the kicker is actually blocked. Like, this will be the first kickoff team where you have a completely unblocked guy at all points. So you get an advantage there. However, that's not where you win. Most of the time, you know how the regular season works. You kick it out the back of the end zone, hit a field goal. That's something different. Kickoffs, man, give me a couple weeks. I'll figure it out.
This is definitely giving Bill Belichick ideas. You know how he can save that one roster spot. Combine those rules.
Wait a minute. This is also given, I hope, the producers of this show an idea, because Dominique muttered under his breath at the end there very quickly also, give me a couple weeks and I'll figure it out. So, Dominique, it is August 30th. You have a couple weeks. It's time to check back in a couple weeks if you have figured it out.
I mean, we need a kicker on our flag football team, Dom.
I just told you that it is not a marketable or valuable skill. I'm not going to waste my time learning how to juggle. I'm good.
Do you question whether Mac Jones saw Cam Newton?
So Mac Jones has been pretty much getting whatever he wants on the field. He's been incredible for a rookie during this preseason. He just threw a touchdown against the Giants when this happened.
Mac Jones?
That's like a sign of that.
Yes.
Right? Daffenstein.
Daffenstein. I will say. I'm just going to sit with that for a second here.
Given his recent time on the COVID list, I'm going to say maybe Mac Jones was running away from Cam Newton. You never know. He's just trying to be safe.
That is a fair observation. I also, though, feel like if you are Cam Newton, if you're anybody and someone just clearly ignores you in that way, you need to seek justice like you're Liam Neeson in Taken. Like, you do not rest until you get what is yours. Otherwise, somehow you have been sunned by the guy who is young enough to be your son.
I will say this, though, like, I don't want Cam Newton to lose this starting position, right? But he is wildly entertaining on the bench. I mean, you remember last year, right, where he basically just slinked away forever after hearing a joke? I don't know if I can do that here, but, I mean, I like him in that spot.
Yeah, was that a shawl?
Ta-da! Yeah, just in case it gets a little chilly in the studio, okay. Which is, you know.
A little
where
babushka.
I spend most of my time.
Whoa.
Anyway, I think somewhere in here, this was a football question. I was not high on Mac Jones. You remember when we all thought he was going to go 3 and we were all in the media going crazy? And I was like, it's Alabama made him. And I've watched his preseason games, and I am wrong. I want to make sure that it is clear that I would like to disavow myself of any of those comments I may have made before he makes us all look foolish. Because watching the games, there are certain things that quarterbacks do, and as a defensive back, when you see him, you get nervous. So if he has the ability to get an effective pre-snap read and make fast decisions, we saw him do that on that touchdown against the Giants where the defense had a cover 4 shell. He was able to get back to the curl flat defender and read him in an instant, throw a perfect pass that led the seam receiver into the end zone. That type of stuff, and to be able to do it consistently, it's terrifying.
I love that Dominique just went spider 2 Y banana on us, and meanwhile, Izzy suddenly has decided to now look like Cam Newton looks.
Exactly. It's a Cam Newton scarf.
Well done.
Time to play the game that missed a dentist appointment to do the show today. The appointment was at 2:30. See?
You clearly didn't feel as good about that as you thought you would have when you first started to think about saying that.
Streaming on Discovery Plus, Prisoner of Love.
So I have no idea what this show is about, but I do know its title, so let's watch.
I have a fiance, his name is Bryce, and we've been together for almost 4 years. The only thing is, he's been in prison our entire relationship.
I'm trying to see my baby, you know.
There's something about the bad boy in prison that I am attracted to. My mom has no idea that I'm currently dating an inmate.
When does he get out?
In like 2 weeks.
Oh my God. This is a horrible decision.
We are getting tattoos of each other's names. You can't help who you fall in love with.
My whole future pretty much depends on him staying out of prison.
These women are a little bit more dangerous than we know. I gotta look out for myself.
No, you ain't just say what's the worst that could happen. He shot him.
What?
That felt like a real clinic in what happens when you change the music on something. Like, if you've just made that music like 5% more ominous, I don't think any of it plays like that. But I am intrigued, Dominique.
I mean, I'm not intrigued. It's a knockoff. Like, the Weed Network already has Love After Lockup, which I have watched. And what I learned Love After Lockup is that you need to be more afraid of the person who goes into prisons looking for someone to love rather than the person who happens to be in prison. Like, there is reasonable explanations for how someone could end up in prison. There's nothing reasonable to me about going to a website that only has suitors that are incarcerated. Like, they're the ones who are off to me.
It does feel like, though, that this show is technically love during lockup, though. Izzy, does that change your mind at all?
Dominic, you've never been to prisonersonly.com? No, I'm not very intrigued. And I couldn't stop laughing the second she said, you can't help who you fall in love with, but you can if you don't visit the prisons.
All right, it is Monday afternoon. That was highly questionable. That is Dominique Foxworth. You can watch him all over ESPN television, especially in the mornings where he makes everybody around him feel cooler by virtue of his existing there, which makes everybody therefore very uncool. That is Israel Gutierrez, who is dominating flag football leagues near you.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.